What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hello and ho, 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 and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name's Phoebe.
My name's Caroline. And today we are going to be recapping Gossip Girl Season 1, Episode 4.
Called Bad News Blair.
Bad News Blair.
Because you guys know I love to say Bad News Bears.
Well, and famously, that's what the title's based on.
Yes.
So it's a very easy slip up. And you'll notice I did not slip up on our podcast name this time.
No, not today.
Thank God.
Because it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. And your Christmas present from us is this episode. And don't be ungrateful.
don't be ungrateful.
It means you were on the nice list if you were listening to this.
Don't be ungrateful that we did what we told you we would do and put an episode up every Thursday.
Yeah, and actually did less than what we said we were going to do because we also said 2 Tuesdays a month. And we are going to be doing that, but we're going to start it in the new year.
It's just been... The thing about this holiday season is that it has gone by in the blink of an eye,
mm-hmm.
and also been so busy, but it also like so busy, like doing what though? Like I still have so much I need to do.
Yeah.
But and also Christmas is a day if you're listening, but if, yeah. if we're recording, Christmas is in 2 days.
Yeah. No, it
and
really
today
is.
Is famously the day of the event of the year.
Right, Phoebe's Christmas party.
My 13th
is
annual
tonight.
Christmas
What's the deal?
Party.
Is there going to be food there?
I'm doing a charcuterie board.
I like how you, sorry to put you on blast,
rub
your nose as you said it. So sound like I'm doing a charcuterie board.
No, I'm doing a charcuterie board. I'm going
oh,
to Trader
are
Joe's
you making
after
it?
This. Yes, I think I'm doing a big candy cane.
Okay. Am That's I going to give you the cheeses that you have to get and the things
I
you
have
to get?
List.
Do you know?
I have a list. So.
Are you going to get the right fig jam?
That's
just because you don't
That's
like
That's on my
it.
List, but I'm going to Trader Joe's. I'm trying to avoid Giant Eagle.
Okay. Well, they don't have the fig jam that I want you to have.
But they have something.
It's just like not as good though at all.
But I'm going there. And then, I mean, I would love to avoid Market District at all costs.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it.
Even though, I mean, I would love to avoid Trader Joe's at all costs.
Yeah.
But
frankly, one of them has a much more desirable parking lot
yes,
situation.
But if I, here's
and
the thing.
Not
because
the
of what
chose.
I'm, because of what I want to get, what I know I need to get, Trader Joe's.
It is.
I'm going to Trader yeah. Joe's regardless. So I've already, like, in my brain been like, I'm going to have to deal with it.
I do feel like what sucks is that Trader Joe's really is the spot if you're building a charcuterie mm-hmm. board. However, if you're like me and you're particular about the fig jam, it requires you to go to one more store.
Yeah.
Like, that's so annoying. And that is the thing about Trader Joe's
well,
in general.
You can't grocery shop there,
you
really.
You can't just go there. Like, mm-hmm. you know, unless...
Unless you're like
unless
one of those
you can,
crunchy,
but I'm not. I can't.
Crunchy granola organic people.
Wow. And she said it, not me. And just so you know, we did get our first 1-star review for your one and only source. And I would love to tell you that
oh
they
boy,
said
I didn't see it.
They said we have mean girl energy. And they go on to say that they really hoped they would enjoy this because they love Gossip Girl. And I'm like, and the mean girl energy is what
but
put
also,
you off on us and you love Gossip Girl?
I do love every time we like kind of start a new venture, that is what people love to say. We have mean girl energy.
Which we famously only done
which,
one
hey,
time.
Which, hey, by the way, you guys, I've never been called that in real life.
Whoa.
Caroline, I don't know that can say the same thing.
Holy shit.
Well, I just like, that's kind of, for like, you know, I know famously what was said about you and Clyde.
People have said lies about me. Yes, it's true. People have lied about me in the past and they'll lie about me again, okay? They'll lie about me in the future.
What else did they say? I didn't even see it.
That's really it. There
well, they must
like,
have done it on Spotify too because I think we're at a 4.7. We were at a 4.8 before.
I don't know. I don't really care as much about the Spotify because people can't write love letters to us.
Right, me either. But it is like when people that like I know go and look at our show, I do want it to have a good rating.
But I do, well, it does. But I also do, I mean, Nick Vile has a below a 4-star rating and you would never see me again. So anyway, just so you know. It blew my mind because Giggly Squad had a 5-star rating for years. I was like, not one person rated you lower.
That is kind of shocking.
Not even one hater. You're paying them off. Holy shit. Like, I couldn't believe it. And, like, they don't care enough about the podcast to even do that. So it's like, I bet they didn't even know. Ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. Anyway, all of this to say, I think that if you enjoy Gossip Girl, you famously enjoy Mean Girl energy. And so then you would like us. But also, welcome. Yeah.
I want to know.
You're obviously new here.
I want to know what comment really set them off.
They said a lot of F-bombs, too. And it's like, okay, it's 2025. What else are we supposed to say?
We're women.
What else are we supposed to say? It's 2025. We can vote and we can say the F word if we want.
Yeah, that's literally
those
what...
Those are the two things we can do. I don't know for how much longer, so just let us.
This is so embarrassing. I just tried to think of, like, literally a single... Susan B. Anthony. I was like, I was trying to think of a single suffragette and I couldn't think of their names. But I was going to say this is what Susan B. Anthony fought for.
Oh, well, and kind of it is, so... So there. Okay, so anyway, this episode I feel like is a really pivotal moment for our girl Blair, mm-hmm. but also for Chuck, which
I agree. I wrote that down too because which is why I'm so interested as to why they like kept the storyline of the first episode in. I don't know how much time was between
back
the pilots.
Then though, remember, like it
I
was
guess
like
that's true.
Pilots were filmed so far in advance from the rest of the show. Like it was just not this way now where it's like we're signing you on for 8 episodes before we see the pilot. It's like you're making a pilot and then we're gonna show it and we're gonna test it with audiences and then we'll let you know. And it was like people wouldn't clear off their whole lives for it. Like I don't know what happened with Blair's mom, if they replaced her, if she wasn't available, but it's like
that Eleanor Waldorf was in one of her soaps, As the World Turns.
Yes.
Margot.
Yes.
A cop.
So it's interesting, like, those kind of decisions. And then also just, like, honestly how different people look from the first episode to the rest of the episodes and just whatever. But so I wonder if, like, I don't know. But we do know for a fact, we talked about in the first episode, that they decided, like, in the pilot, Chuck was going to be pure evil and low-key so was Blair. And then, like,
both of
the actors, they were like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. They're finding stuff we didn't know was there.
And so now we're shifting
it. And I feel like this episode really solidifies and, like, changes the lens that we're supposed to see these people through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
I agree.
Part of the reason we're able to do that for Blair is because of Dan, which makes sense with him being Gossip Girl. Because it's like, we're really supposed to be seeing this whole world through his lens.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't know it. And it's right. Like, if he doesn't see her as a sympathetic character at all.
Neither do we. Yeah, it was a good thing. But here's what I will say. When the episode started, I was like, am I watching the right episode? Because that we like.
You forgot about the Blair dreams?
Oh, no. Well, mom immediately ready to say something negative about the show.
Oh, perfect.
She goes, what year is this even supposed to be in? What is that cab?
Oh, and I was she like, watched this episode with
I
you?
I was like, mom, I think it's a dream.
Yeah.
Well, she was making the cake behind me I watched the episode.
Mom has a massive problem with Gossip Girl, which obviously and famously started when I was in 8th grade and she saw the billboard.
We told that story to Anne yesterday.
And
Anne was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And when she saw the billboard that said your mother's worst nightmare, and mom has really clung to that. She's like, I'm not going to like
Anne
it.
Was right.
How can I possibly like it? It's a mother's worst nightmare. And I'm a mother famously. Like that's what mom is thinking. But here's the thing. Mom watches the first episode and she goes, I mean... The martinis took me right out of it. And I'm like, well, it's not supposed to really. Like, we do think it probably is realistic for some people in the world. But like, it's not supposed to be like Pretty Little Liars. Hey, by the way, was supposed to be realistic. And they had Aria in a bar eating a vegan cheeseburger on the first episode and hooking up with an older man. So
I was
like,
trying to explain to mom the. And she obviously famously hasn't watched Pretty Little Liars either. Maybe I'll get her started on it.
No, she's never. No, because now we need her locked in with Gossip Girl.
Oh, it's so she gets to watch Caroline's show.
Well, it's not my problem that she for 3 years resisted watching your show. I don't know what that was about. But now that she's on board, we can't really let her get off of this.
Whatever. Well, she's only still watched one episode.
Well, it's the only way she'll ever listen to this podcast.
But I was like, she was like, so are we supposed to like, because I think I said something about how terrible Serena is.
Yeah.
And mom was like, I think she was so used to the way when you're teenagers, you think like Blair's the mean girl. Serena's who we all want to be. And I had to explain to her like Serena's like the Aria of like when we were a kid, we were like, she's everything we want to be. Yeah. She's different. She's like not into the superficial materialist stuff.
I guess some people felt that way.
Caroline wanted to be an Aria.
Oh,
bad.
I thought you might be talking about Serena.
Oh, well, I just mean like Serena. you might not have felt that way. And I didn't. No. I watched the show so late that I was already past the point of wanting to be like any of them. But like, I do think when they were writing the show, people thought Serena was going to be the one.
Yeah, no,
liked.
For sure.
And then when you rewatch it, when you're older, it's like, wait, Serena, you're such a bad friend. Yeah. Aria, you're such a bad friend. You're so vapid. And like, you think you're all these things, but you're not. You suck. That is what Serena is this way. But and Serena
she had a couple good moments, but this episode is one of those episodes where it's like, hey, Serena, like.
Serena's just, it is so in her head. Like
she lacks
so
much self-awareness. She cannot possibly see how Blair could, because it's like, she's like, what? My intentions weren't bad. Like, I can't help that everything is handed to me on a silver platter. Like, some girls are just lucky, I guess.
No,
like,
literally, that's her saying. Whole vibe.
And everyone's like, okay, but if you know that about yourself, you need to also think about other people and how, like,
if you know this is, if you're at Blair's, your best friend's mom's photo shoot and Blair's not here.
That moment where Blair's like, you didn't see me on the call sheet. You didn't see me in hair and makeup. You're taking pictures without me and you didn't like, think to.
Like, even giving Serena less credit, it's like, you didn't just think Blair would want to be here if this was okay with her. If Eleanor was like, Blair, like, we're going to get you a photo shoot that is suitable to like your talents. Yeah. But for this, we need, like, kind of do it in a way where you talk badly about Serena. Like, we need someone who's like a little wild, a little unpolished.
Yeah, a little bit
like, you know.
Too perfect.
Exactly.
Like, whatever.
Like, do that. Like, do you.
Well, also in Serena, I'm like, why would you think that Blair would want to be doing this with you? Like, the way that you're like, I thought we were doing it together. Like, that's that much better. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
She thought this was like finally her mom
thing,
choosing
and
her.
That you were excited for her to like, for Blair to be on the pedestal and Blair to have her moment. But like, Serena can't fucking help it. Like, she can't help it. And the same thing happens with Dan. When Dan comes, he's like, I thought we were like hanging out. Yeah. And here you are behind. Like, you can't help it, you know? Anyway, okay, so.
I wonder if it was tossed around an idea in the writer's room that maybe, obviously it doesn't come to fruition until much later. But like, I wonder if it was an idea that like, wait, maybe Dan and Blair see that they actually have a lot more in common at this point. And like, Dan sees depth to Blair that he can't see in Serena.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, like, if that was something they were like, could that be interesting to do?
Oh, I really feel like they must have had a moment.
I kind of loved when they were together.
Really?
I remember.
I know.
That's part of the show that I haven't rewatched. So I might feel differently this time around, but
I do
feel like I liked it.
But
it
like,
was so enemies to lovers.
It was so enemies to lovers. And the thing is that like Dan matches Blair's level of like intellect, it feels like, and their interests are so similar, and like it's like, oh, it's, we're not like, so different after all, kind of a thing. However, Blair needs someone that is gonna compliment her. Like, she doesn't need someone who, she doesn't want to fight for you to see who's the smartest one in the relationship.
It's like Spencer and Caleb.
Exactly. It's exactly like,
which
Spencer
is why, like,
Caleb.
It's like hot and it's sexy and it's fun for like the beginning, and then it's like, wait, but this isn't really,
and
what
you're both
want.
Kind of like way too intellectual for this, for to not be like overthinking this all the time and like ruin it, like,
exactly.
You're gonna self-sabotage. But I love the episodes, and this is one of the things I love about Blair, is like her old Hollywood and like love
the
for
world they
old
created
movies,
for her.
And not in an Aria way.
Yes,
you know what
Which
I mean,
it's in a Hannah Marin way.
It's not contrived at
she
all.
She is like, if Allie had stuck around after Hannah like had her makeover, and if Hannah had to still develop like a hard exterior.
Yes, yes.
But at their core, they are so similar.
They really are.
Like, and I mean, and so much of it was just like their experience.
We should do an episode like Tara and I obviously did for Gilmore Girls, like comparing the characters. And God, people are going to war in the comments still today.
I see.
Like,
I've seen it.
Dying over it. And I think the episode was really fun.
It's fun to see how protective people are over their show's characters.
It's so
They're
true.
They're like, I don't want Rory to be compared to this character. Yeah. I don't want Blair to be compared to this character.
And it's like, well, sorry. Yeah. No, exactly. And like, I think that it would be a really interesting, once we get more of our main cat, like once we get more of our characters here in Gossip Girl, that would be a really good Tuesday episode to really get in there. Because
I've
do
already
not
got ideas.
Think off the bat, people would think Blair and Hannah
but
have anything in common. But like, okay. But yeah, I love the Blair dreams. And so we have this like calling music. It's like the opening to
River.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Yes. And Blair is dressed obviously as Audrey. And she also has such like an old Hollywood beauty that Serena has. But I guess it really is giving like Marilyn Monroe. And
well,
then,
they like they picked the exact perfect people to play these parts.
They really fucking did. And these dreams just like tell us so much about who Blair is. And whatever. And so she's dressed like Audrey and she's dropped off at Bendel's. And Serena, we see in the store window with Cotty and Isabel, and she's cracking up, whatever. And Blair goes to try to get in and they tell her she's not on the list. She says, this is my dream.
Exactly. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
And then she wakes up and she hears a hustle and bustle downstairs.
I mean,
and it's not Saint Nick.
The penthouse is a buzz. Okay. And we get our first Gossip Girl moment. She says, hey, Upper East Siders, there's nothing Gossip Girl likes more than a surprise. And we hear Blair Waldorf has a 2-for-1 special. Her mom, Eleanor, who just returned from Paris, and Serena Vanderwoodson, brunch buddies. Let me tell you, my head would fly off my body.
Well, this is why I was so confused, because there was really not like a real resolution at the end of last week's episode between Blair and Serena.
No.
It's called her Selena. And then in this episode, it's like Blair's upset. So it's all making sense at first. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the scene, and I understand it's like Serena's like olive branch, mm-hmm, to be like, no, we have plans. I'm going to get you away from, yeah, your mother so you don't have to be around her. But it is. And then when we see them shopping later, it's like, but you get like, it just feels like we kind of got here really quickly.
Yeah, but I think that's also like one thing I'll say, and this episode says it to me too, like SNBR endgame. Like, and it just doesn't matter what, like so much is going to fucking happen. These girls show up for each other, mm-hmm, no matter what. And like, it doesn't, like Dan unless, makes a point. He's like, Serena, isn't this the girl?
Unless Serena's away at boarding school for 6 months.
Well, sorry. I really should say Blair will really repeatedly show up. Serena maybe will not, but they like their friendship is like the love story of the show. Like they're, mm-hmm, they go through so much. And we even have the moment where Dan's like, I'm sorry, isn't this the person that just like told everyone, you know, and all the Ivy school people that you have a drug problem,
yeah,
and now you're, and it's like, well, yeah, we're sisters.
Like, exactly.
It's what we do. Like it's, that's just what it is. But it is like Serena, just the thought of like everything being fine and Blair walking in to see that her mother's back and she had no fucking clue her, mm-hmm, mother was coming back.
And Serena was invited over.
Serena sitting there, and it's just like, this whole scene is like nails on a chalkboard painful for me. Mm-hmm. And I know for you, because Blair goes and sits down and Eleanor is telling Serena, oh my God, we're so excited. Bendel's is going to be carrying the Eleanor Waldorf line. And this is obviously huge. Blair comes in and is like, oh my God, mom. And Eleanor goes, darling, it's impolite to interrupt. Mwah. Like immediately, like Blair, shut the fuck up.
That's so funny.
Which this scene to me, and I want to know if you felt this way too, this scene very much gives the feeling of like the worst feeling in the world when your mom is just so annoyed with you and someone else is there that she would rather be talking to. You know, yes, what I mean?
100%.
Like it's that feeling of just like, it's the worst. Well, almost, it's like when you're,
it's like when you're
like, chocolate.
It's like when you're old enough to feel like you should be talking to the adults.
Yes.
And you're standing like around with the adults, and then mom's like clearly trying to be like, okay, now we're gonna talk about something that you can't. We don't want you to be around for.
Yes, dude. I have like moments ingrained in my memory of like when I first was able to drink, like going somewhere with mom, uh-huh, and like her friends are around, and I'm drinking wine, and like feeling like adult and cool, and then mom I can see just starting to get annoyed with me.
Mom's going, don't mind my kid sister.
And I'm like, oh my god, I will never recover from this. And here I am 10 years later still wondering when that day will come. But no, that's like what it is. And then to make matters worse, Blair like takes a croissant.
No, a yogurt, I think.
No, she takes a croissant, which Serena's also eating. And Eleanor goes, darling, would you rather have like a low-fat yogurt maybe?
I thought she grabbed the yogurt parfaits on the table and she was like, wait, these are full fat.
No.
Let's go to the kitchen and get
you. She tried to eat exactly what Serena's eating. And her mom was like, wouldn't you prefer? And then Serena's like awkwardly puts hers down. And it's just like horrible.
Guys,
and then Blair
both,
goes,
they both weigh 90 pounds soaking wet.
Literally. And then Blair goes, mom, I lost 2 pounds while you're away. Like, 2 pounds. It's so sad to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, 2 pounds losing or gaining for me is like an afternoon. You know what I mean? Like,
wake up in the morning, go to bed at night.
Yeah, no, exactly. Hey, mom, I lost 2 pounds when I wake up at 5 a.m. and I just went potty. Hey, mom, I gained 5 pounds. It's the end of the day and I took a shower. Like, yeah, no, exactly. Like, I just am like, It's just so sad. Like, it tells us so. I just want her to have, like, an Ashley Marin mom. And it also pisses me off because Serena, last episode, how dare you tell Lily she doesn't have a maternal bone in her body?
Mm-hmm.
Eleanor struggles to find her maternal bone.
Not when it's with Serena,
and
though.
You're sitting and fucking watching this. I know. And, like, Serena can't get out outside mm-hmm. of herself. Like, she'd be like, what? Your mom's great. Yeah, oh, my literally. God. Your mom's amazing.
100%.
Like, oh, don't disvalidate Blair like this.
Exactly.
I just.
And so... Eleanor is fawning over Serena and her style and all this stuff.
Oh,
and she's
God.
Like, why didn't you come into the photo shoot or whatever?
You have such fabulous personal style. I want your opinion on everything.
And then Serena says, I can't. Blair and I have plans today.
Which Blair didn't know.
Blair says, we do. And it's like, hey, Blair, take what you can get.
Exactly. But I am also like, this is a moment that should be a good moment for Serena.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
And it is. And it is. And they have moments like this where, like, Serena chooses Blair when she needs to choose Blair.
Well, when there's no better option.
Yeah, exactly. But even with Dan, who I think Serena thinks is a better option mm-hmm. sometimes. I don't know. Okay. So we go to Nate and Chuck, and they are booked for the weekend. Chuck is looking
for his
Piaget, which is a watch that costs more than 10 grand.
Yes. And they put all this stuff into, like, the safe drawer in Chuck's room. And then we hear a knock on the door. And all hell breaks loose. It's like the first scene of Babylon. And then we find out that because Ivy Week is over, hopefully you all made it. Hopefully you're getting into a school of your choice. And then he says, let's ruin those chances. It's lost weekend.
It's the lost weekend. And here are the rules for the lost weekend. Chuck says, as of now, there is no outside world that I do not show to you. You eat what I provide, practice what I preach. Until I say so, the only girls you talk to are the ones I paid for. Let the lost weekend commence.
And then Sebastian Stan walks
enter
in the room.
Carter Basin and a drug rug. You know what a drug rug is, right?
Yes.
Guys, if that didn't immediately paint a mental image for you.
With greasy hair, by the way.
We had different upbringings. Because the drug rug was rampant in, I guess, at this time. Do people still wear it? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like
people know what it is, for sure.
Sort of like a poncho.
It's like
it's not a poncho.
It's kind of like
material.
It's like a soft burlap.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like a thick, soft burlappy thing that's like,
it's kind of beachy. You know who wears one? Spicoli.
You know what? It is very beachy. It's very, I smoke weed and I'm of the earth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so hence it being called
a drug
rug.
And he's also wearing a wooden beaded bracelet.
He's a disaster.
And Nate is immediately like, holy shit.
Coolest guy. Okay. The real Aria, Nate Archibald, in this episode. Holy fuck. And I'm like, Chuck, thank you for trying to knock some
sense into
your friend.
I'm willing to give Nate more credit. This is what it's like. It's, if we're going to compare it to Pretty Little Liars, it's like our Hannah for one episode is like, well, what if I tried to be more like Aria? What if I just tried?
No. We are not putting Nate in the same camp as Hannah. That's diabolical.
Nate is like, a good heart like Hannah.
Okay, but like...
Nate is Hannah when she realizes that Caleb is hot living in the walls of the school and she can take care of him.
Okay, yes. I'll give you that, yes. But like, Hannah would never be like, yeah, I'm going to trade my trust fund to like...
But for Caleb, she might.
She'd be like, Caleb, write me and tell me all about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what she's... I don't know. She's like, I love that you love that and we can have different interests. I don't know. So... Carter Bazemux, and he was a senior when Chuck and Nate were in the eighth grade.
Which, hey, by the way, mortifying, embarrassing as fuck.
That he's back here, that they know that.
No, that he's back.
I know.
That he's come here. He knows that this is happening
this
weekend.
Even more mortifying when we actually find out why he's fucking back. Like, fucking psycho. Chuck has some good fucking lines when it comes to Carter. He goes, he looks like Matthew McConaughey between movies.
No, that was funny.
Sounds like he traded his trust fund for a fanny pack.
And Nate isn't hearing any of it. He goes, Payson! Heard you in Rogue.
And like, they seem like they're like besties right away, and Chuck's look of disgust like in the corner of the frame is so fucking funny. He's just like, is this fucking real?
Literally.
This is lost weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What is this man doing here? The ultimate lost boy.
Then we go shopping, and
oh my God.
All these men are gawking at both of them, but Blair thinks they're only looking at Serena.
But it is also like, here's one thing I'll say about that, okay? I don't think if Blair's on her own, she gives a single fuck if anyone is like looking at her or whatever. Uh-huh. When she's with Serena, I think she notices that it's happening And again, because her self-worth is truly so low, like, there's no way they're looking at me. But wait, also think Blair even is so much more standoffish than Serena.
So they're not.
Serena's like, look she's at open. Me. Look
she's
at
open.
Me.
You know totally.
What it, yeah. And Blair's like, if you look at me, you'll die. You know, it's like a Paige DeSorbo vibe where it's like, don't make eye contact. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what it is. And also, Serena is dressed in a bit more of like a mature, like she maybe looks a little older. So Blair still has a little bit of like a child.
Blair,
childishness
let's not forget,
to her.
Is still a virgin. And I
can
know
smell
I keep
that on her.
They can smell it. I know I keep touching on that, but I do feel like it's like.
Be honest, are we mean girls for saying that you can smell the Brooklyn
the
water?
Virginity
off of
on her in the Brooklyn water. Is that what made us mean girls? Okay, fine, I'll take it. Okay, okay. If you think that's mean, then
go,
okay.
Go listen to our other 200
You're right.
episodes.
That's the meanest thing I've ever said. But Blair says, I forgot what it was like to be with you. And it's just like, she just doesn't fucking get it. And Serena's like, oh my God, they were looking at us both. Like, what? And Blair's like, no. It's been like this all morning, even with my mom. I didn't even know she was coming home. I think she likes you more than she likes me. And Serena's like, no.
She's making excuses for Eleanor over and over again.
She just doesn't know how to show it sometimes. And she's like, you don't know anything about her.
She doesn't love anyone any more than you. And Blair goes, okay, I'm going to go inside.
She's and like, then, okay.
And then we have a classic Serena.
Dan!
No, it's even worse. Humphrey!
Oh my God, this is what I love about this city.
No, that
line, always bumping into people.
That line,
are you?
This is what I love about this city is crazy.
This is what I love about this city. Always bumping into people. I just have to say, like, I did when I have famously in New York had more run-in encounters than like anywhere else, I will say. But I also think it's just because it feels so much crazier. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's that crazy to run into someone who I know lives a block away from me
I live. Here it's like, well, we all live in such, like, it's so different. We're always walking around seeing each other.
Yeah.
But in New York, it's like, this is the city that never sleeps. It's the biggest city in the world.
Like,
this
we've
is the
all
center
got places
of the universe.
To be, what are the odds we end up in the same street in this little town? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But it is just so funny because it's like, it's not like you live in a small little city. It's what I love about this city. Like, oh my God, it's this big. It's just so fucking funny. And so Dan has just dropped Jenny off. We get no little Jay in this ep. By the way, Jenny on a penny, did it make you LOL? You like so barely good. Reacted.
Sorry, I was asleep. We watched, we had the Grinch on again yesterday. We were making cookies. So and she is, when she goes, I just thought it would be nice to have everyone together for Christmas. Oh. And she's got her little mittens.
Did you see the video? She just posted it of her trying on the original dress that she wore. And she's like, it still like kind of fits. Like, what a crazy holiday. And I'm like, well, that
is concerning.
It's interesting. But yeah, she just posted it and it's
well
so
good
cute.
I'm glad that she not that I feel like she was ever like fuck that
no she loves the Grinch. It's Gossip Girl she fucking hates.
But I do, it's just sweet to me, like,
which
she
sucks. I'm like, is anyone ever gonna come on our podcast like from that show because they all hate it?
Penn Badgley has a podcast.
I know, but like they all seem like about talking about Gossip Girl, except you know who I would take? Kelly Rutherford. Like,
okay, Kel.
She just posted a spicy little selfie. I love her mirror selfies.
We'll do your one and only source with Phoebe and Caroline and Kelly and Kelly. And we'll
and
have Kelly.
And Kelly. Oh my God, yes. And also, do you not think that Lily Vanderwoodson / Kelly is like gives like Meg?
Oh, yeah.
Like in a major way. I think it's one
for
of the
sure.
reasons I'm like, she's so everything. Anyway, so Dan just dropped Jenny off. She's going to visit with their mom. And then he got some Cuban sandwiches,
not cigars,
for him and Rufus. And Serena's like, remember we were supposed to have a date and like not talk? Like, is it time for that yet? And then Blair comes out.
And there was this show, one of Sydney Sweeney's first shows she ever did, where she...
Is it called Pretty Little Liars?
No. Oh my goodness. It was like a Netflix show, got canceled after one season. But she is about to kiss a girl in this hotel room.
Holy
and
shit.
It's like it was like set in like the 80s or 90s, and they're on a school field trip, and this girl walks in.
Okay, like we're at school,
and as they're about to kiss, the girl walks in and she goes, disgusting. But she's not talking about them kissing. She's talking, she found a retainer somewhere, like,
oh,
it's like
my
dirty
God.
But that's when Blair walks
that's
up to
what
them,
this is giving.
She goes, disgusting. And it's like, you think she's talking about the Brooklyn water, the Brooklyn stench coming off of Dan.
And she does, and there
but
is
it
a stench.
There's a stench. The pork smells so strong that you can't even tell he's from Brooklyn anymore.
You know that horrible smell when, like, B.O. does smell like an Italian hoagie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And the worst is when, like, you just, like, in every musical I've ever done, there's had to be a conversation where people are like, with the director has to like sit the whole cast down and like give the hygiene talk.
It's so gross.
Do you, I feel like in marching band, they probably had to do that too.
It happened. Yeah. It happened early in percussion. Cause like there was one grade when I was younger that was like, they just kind of struggled with that department.
And like high schoolers don't realize that they smell yet. And it's like,
you, when you're young, you think you're invincible.
Reek. Oh, you reek. When you're young, you just run. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you reek, these kids. And I just will never forget, like, okay, maybe not the best time for me to tell the story when I'm trying to escape the mean girl narrative, but should I tell this crazy story? But maybe I've even told it before. When I went to the Performing Arts Project one summer, one of the best summers of my freaking life, there are a lot of friends there, but we're all, like, dancing, working in the hot Winston-Salem sun from 8:30 in the morning to 10 at night. So like it's long days
and smells.
People are taking multiple showers a day if they can, but like you can't always. And there's like one person in our friend group who we loved so much who like really had an issue with smell. And we were like, what are we gonna do about this? Cause like we can't, cause the other thing is like, first of all, I don't want people to be looking at you giving you weird looks, but also like I'm with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And as much as I don't want to smell it, I don't want people to be looking at me thinking that it's me. So, like, we wrote this person a note, an anonymous note.
Oh, my God.
And we put it under their door. And guess what? They never mentioned it, and they never smelled again. And, like, we've just taken that to the grave. And me, and then, you know what? The girl who I made the note with, one of the girls, then we lived together in New York.
Mm.
And it's like, okay.
And that's the truth of it.
Friendship as fuck.
Mean girls always find their way back to each other.
And we are both named Caroline. And so we love doing that too. I'm Caroline. This is my best friend Caroline. And people were like, huh? Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if that was mean or nice though that we did.
Well, guys, if you guys need to know, the other Caroline certainly is nice. This Caroline is also nice, but the other Caroline also, we know they're both nice people because when this Caroline came to help move Caroline into college one time. And did she, was her foot fucked up or was yours?
I was in a boot. And Caroline and I would try to see each other like at least once a year if we could. And she, her family lived in North Carolina and I went to school in Charleston. So it kind of like made sense at some point. And so she was like, why don't I come down and like spend your first weekend in college with you? But then like that meant she had to help move in, but she was more than happy to do because she's like actually
this
the nicest
This is when Caroline
person.
Lived like up four flights of stairs,
lived
no
up
elevator.
Four flights of steps. I was in a walking boot, no elevator, August in Charleston. Caroline had just gotten her wisdom teeth out, had a dry socket, which they say is like one of the worst pains you can feel. So she was like, her cheeks were like big, like she's fully recovering from the wisdom teeth surgery, but moving me into college. And then she gets like her dry socket. We still went out the whole weekend and it
and
was
that's college, baby.
It was honestly good. We were at a party and I met this guy and I was like, oh, he's really cute. And like, we kissed a little bit at the party. And then like, he said something about like asking me on a date. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, we'll see. And I leave and Caroline's like, if he calls you, like you're going on a date. And I was like, I don't think I'm doing that. And we go to a Thai restaurant and I get a text from the guy and he's like, hey, like, can we go get coffee or something? And I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, no, I can't imagine anything scarier than that. I don't know the man. We spoke at a loud party for like a couple minutes and I just am good to never see him again. And she was like, you're saying yes. And she took my phone and responded. And then I went and that guy is the reason Mom gave me my fake ID back because I said, well, I guess.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I can just kiss him goodbye because she took my fake ID from me. And she was like, I was like, I guess I'll never see him again because he's over 21 and I'm not going to be able to hang out with him anywhere. And then Mom in front of TSA hands it back to me. Because Mom at her heart, hopeless romantic.
Mom did the Benny drama. Go get her.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay, go get your man.
He's killing me with that. He's like, so the funny. Only time it's acceptable to cut the line to go get your connecting flight is if you literally are like, if that's why. And he says, that's your holiday challenge.
That's your, oh, your holiday.
Like, he's like telling the story. He's like, everybody listening, if you see someone who is like clearly going to get on a connecting flight and you're rooting
you're
for them.
You're seeing the end scene from Love Actually.
You grab them by the shoulders, regardless of gender.
Go get her.
Regardless of gender. go get her.
Go get her. Love it. So anyway, Blair comes out. She's like, oh, it's called Nolita, not no showers, because everybody reeks. And then she smells that pork and cheese smell from Dan. And she looks at Serena and she says, when you're done with your charity work, come find me.
I'll be in Tory Burch looking at ponchos.
Ponchos? The way she says it, she goes, looking at ponchos and walks away. It's so funny.
And then Serena says, or Dan says, isn't that the girl who... And then Serena is like, yes, Dan, but Blair can be a little Blair.
And this line read...
But call me sometime.
This is the best line that she's had so far in the show. Ready? She goes, today's our first day hanging out alone. Today's our first day hanging out together alone. It's giving the, what is it that Jenny does in the last one?
I'm your sister. That's what I do.
No, right before that, she goes, na 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 na.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what it is.
But wait, what does she say?
He comes out and he's got the shaving, baby Grinch.
And she says, like, I hope there better not be a spotlight involved.
I hope there's not a spotlight involved.
Yeah, that's exactly what
yeah, exactly. Ooh, there better not be a spotlight involved. Some of the line reads in here are just, like, only way to refer to them as fine art. So anyway, she's like, call me, and then they leave. We go back.
Says, so we can do that thing you didn't ask me to do.
Okay, Serena's charming.
So then we go
Dan's
to Chuck.
Like, what just happened? Every time Serena leaves, he's like, whose life am I living?
Wait, what is that thing that we say? Where did this come from? What just happened?
What just happened?
Where's that from?
Well, when I quote it, I'm quoting Dot from Mad TV.
Oh.
You know, then I think
I'm just quoting you.
You are. You know that sketch.
Well, I'm sure you showed me.
Where's my glove?
Yes, it's a little girl. Yes.
So funny. So, Nate and Carter are catching up.
Carter says, when you go out into the real world, you realize money isn't freedom. Just pays for your prison.
Yeah. He goes, they say I disappeared, but all I did was break out.
Because Chuck says, so you fell off the face of the earth. Your family said you fell off the face of the earth. And they go, he goes, just their earth.
Turn away from money. You see, it doesn't buy you freedom.
Pays for your prison.
So funny. I'm like, can't relate. But things he's done.
I'm going to remember that next time I look at my bank statement.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say. You're going to find journals all over my house. Money doesn't pay for your freedom. Money doesn't pay for your freedom.
This is the new mantra. This is the new mantra for 2026, just so you guys know.
hey, universe. No, it's not.
No, it is. Hey,
universe. No, it's not.
Money absolutely does buy my freedom, just so we're all clear. Uh-huh. Okay, Nate, I don't know if I believe Carter.
Nate is hanging on to every word.
Nate is like, wait, can everybody just shh? Maybe I could... Chuck, could you get everyone out of here? I gotta hear this. I got to
Aria as fuck.
Literally. He's like, should we start a podcast? Like, it's literally like that energy. Carter, I don't know if I believe him. He says he aided in the post-Katrina cleanup and he spent a year rebuilding Machu Picchu, which changed his life. And then he started filming a documentary, which, by the way, how'd you buy the HD camera? If money doesn't buy you freedom, but you're filming this documentary, which Nate is like, I've always wanted to be in a documentary. It's like he doesn't know that it's not an acting job. Anyway, Chuck's like, hey, by the way, you're actually the guy that gave us our first joint. You snuck us into our first club. You're the founder of The Lost Weekend. What's this about? Like, is this why you're here or what? And I literally wrote, Nate is so Aria, because Aria goes, who cares about a party when you can travel the world?
And
Carter, you can travel the world anytime you want.
Whoa.
Well,
we're gonna find out that might not be so true.
In this moment, believe that.
And then Carter says, in the real world, it matters who you are, not what you own.
Not what you own. That I feel like that's a line out of Rent the Musical.
100%.
Like, they're like, in the real world. I just said, in factly.
They're like, in the real world, it doesn't matter if you pay your rent, it just matters if you love.
And it doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up. So Chuck goes, as much as I love this speech
about
not needing material things from a guy who's that much product in his hair, this party's about excess, not exposition. Stop talking. Start partying.
And then Carter.
I love that much product in his hair. Chuck just fucking clocks this phony right away.
Mm-hmm. And Nate says, Nate and Carter are talking. He's like, come with me. I'll show you. I'll come to this address later. I'll show you real time.
Fucking
real good time. Psychotic.
He's like, let's play some cards. I'm in a weekly game in Queens. High stakes, big money. Again, thought you didn't care about that. Okay. So Blair and Serena are looking at dresses at the Waldorf penthouse while Eleanor is like stressing over models. And Serena's kind of like listening with one ear as Eleanor's like, I just need someone to represent Eleanor Waldorf Designs and they have to be worthy of the clothes. And then they're like,
and then I love this line. She says, she's looking through the catalog of models. I hate the American Apparel effect.
And you know what?
Same. Like, okay, but you're kind of acting like you don't when you tell your daughter who already again weighs 90 pounds soaking wet that she should that have the low fat yogurt.
No, exactly.
Because the American Apparel effect is like, sorry, heroin chic.
No, it is. It really is. And like in Technicolor spandex. So, but Eleanor Waldorf has a moment of actually seeing her daughter for 1 second. And she's like, oh, it should be my daughter. And it's just such an interesting moment. Like Eleanor is like, who better to represent this Waldorf lifestyle than a Waldorf? She was my first dress form, like whatever. And it's even like in the first episode when Eleanor was like, oh, she's my best advertisement or whatever.
It's like when she talks
but it's right after saying something shitty.
When she talks to anybody but Blair, yes, she like raves about her.
Exactly. And it's like, I mean, she literally in the first episode says to Blair, next time you want to wear one of my designs, let's have it fitted. And then she turns to somebody else and is like, she's my best. And it's like, it's okay, what? Like, I just, it's such a complicated mother-daughter relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, such a bummer. But Serena overhears all this and is like, no, yeah, let's get Blair in here. And it makes me wonder if Blair would have been like, would have like saved herself from the trauma. Uh-huh. And would have been like, I'm not doing it. And like, just kind of, she would have known in the back of her head. But Serena.
Because later she throws that back in Serena's face. She says, you're the one who wanted me to do this.
Exactly. Exactly.
So then all the girls, four girls. What the fuck are their names? I can never remember.
Cottie and Isabel.
Cottie, Isabel, Serena, and Blair are in Blair's room, like dancing, learning how to model. All this. It's like super cute.
It's Blair's pretending like it's not that big of a deal, but like but she's having tell so that much she's fun. So excited. And the girls are like, this is how you do it. And Blair's like, girls, no, let me show you. And she gets up and it's just like low key pathetic. Like she's like not a good model at all. And then Serena's like, no, you gotta pop your hip. That's how you do it. Like literally, that's what she does. And then Serena gets a phone. And this just like takes me back though. This like moment of like you're hanging out with your girlfriends getting ready in a room and a boy calls and it's like I don't know, as much as these are like these it's rich like in unattainable that, girls in there that are still moment, moments like this
that's the most exciting moment that's happened to anybody in that room.
Yes, exactly. And so calls. Blair takes Serena's phone and she's like, oh, who is this? Oh, Serena can't like talk, whatever, the number isn't in service. Finally lets him talk to Serena or Anna. Dan like can cool it if you ask me.
He's so rude.
Because Serena's like, I'm so sorry. And he goes, and I'm so ready to hang up.
Shut up.
Okay, she's busy. You she's having asshole? Fun with their friends. And you're not close enough with her to like be such a piece of shit. Right? And I don't even, when we get to the conversation he has with Rufus about Blair, I'm like, and you should actually walk the plank for that, Dan.
Yeah, you can drown just like Rufus did.
You can drown just like Rufus. All right. So anyway, Dan's like, I want to go to a movie tonight. She says, yes, they're going to meet there. And then we see Dan as he hangs up, have a Granny Smith apple in his hand, toss it in the air, catch it. Okay. He's feeling lucky.
Okay, cool.
You're in a fire escape. What if you dropped it? On what if you fucking head. Dropped it? Ever heard of and when you drop a someone. Penny from the Empire State Building? It's actually like a lethal. Bullet? And so I can't imagine what an apple would do. Yeah. Jenny on a penny?
Because he lives actually at the top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, well, maybe. Who knows anything about New York geography? I don't.
No, not me.
Don't ask me a thing about it. Guys, the Brooklyn Bridge is...
fake.
Fake, right? It's fake, right? Anyway, okay, so Rufus is at the gallery with a woman. One thing I'll say, which is this is so funny. I was trying to figure out what to do for the Elf on a Shelf graphic last night.
Rufus on a doofus?
And Anthony and I both thought of that. And I was like, yeah, I could put him standing on his own shoulders and it'd be so funny. But I didn't know if people would get it. And then someone commented Rufus on a doofus and put him on his own shoulders. I'm like, is my house bugged?
Guys, I come here after Christmas and I find everything like completely torn off the walls.
I moved out, house bare. Not even there's like a single note that's like
can't off the grid.
Don't want them to find me. Off the grid, going to rebuild Machu Picchu and film a documentary. Gotta go. Gotta jet.
With a quote that said, money doesn't buy your freedom, it pays for your prison.
Yeah. I took all my drug rugs, don't even look. So even look. Rufus is at a gallery with this woman named Bex. Which, well, I was going to say no offense if your name is Bex, but it's probably not your God-given name. And everyone knows that God gives out the names here in America.
But is it? Do we think it's
B-E-X. B-E-X. B-E-X because sure. I have the subtitles on. For and sure, I was like, sure. Oh, okay.
This girl's different. Oh, I know your government name is Rebecca.
The side bangs, her name's Bex. Okay. And also, like, I don't know. Just, like, let people call you Bex. Don't, like, change it on your driver's license. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. They're looking at a painting that's apparently complicated and enigmatic. What did you think of it?
I didn't even fucking look at it. I just don't even care. And it's also, a little bit sensual. And hey, by the way, those are the words that he uses to describe Lily later.
I know.
By the way, guys, this is his wife's painting.
Yeah. His wife, who he's still married to.
Yeah.
They're just separated right now. And he's a little bit delulu
so
about it.
So he's looking at his wife's painting, thinking about Lily Vanderwoodson while flirting with who he doesn't know. Bex is Lily Vanderwoodson's agent.
Bex, who, dare I say, talks like a supervillain? Okay, you're flirting with a literal supervillain with side bangs named Bex. Okay. She literally speaks like she is Syndrome from The Incredibles in my mind.
Oh, I need to watch that.
Oh, let's watch it. Let's watch it. We just tried to make Kelly watch The Family Stone.
She hated it.
No, but she did have to leave halfway through, but for an unrelated reason. And I was like, you watch Parenthood, right? And she was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that's him. I'm like, and Anthony's like, and Mr. Incredible. And I like always forget that.
Oh, too. I always forget that too. To me, he is just Grandpa Braverman.
By the way, has your like opinion on The Family Stone shifted at all?
No.
Seriously, you're never going
to
watch it again?
I don't know if I ever need to watch that movie again.
Okay, she's not a deep thinker.
No.
Okay, she's not a deep thinker.
No, I have a big heart.
I just read a think piece about why the movie is actually so great. And I agree with every point.
I think that it is a great movie, but it's like there are certain movies that are just it. Them being hard to watch doesn't mean it's a bad movie. But exactly. I do think I just wish.
I can tell you want to watch it again. I can see it.
I
all
wish
over
they
your
had
face.
Made SJP a little more likable.
I do too.
And I wish, but if they had made her likable, we wouldn't have my favorite moment maybe in cinema history.
Well, and which is.
I'm so ashamed.
Sorry. The moment with the two sisters. I'm sorry.
Carrie Bradshaw popped out right there.
It's just such a story of like family love and like.
They're so mean.
No, I know. But I'm really talking about like Claire Danes, her sister, leaves Christmas to come be with her sister because she's like afraid that everything's not okay.
Yeah.
It's also like. The way that the actual family loves each other,
yes.
Obviously not SJP, but then how they're able to love her when she's like with the right person.
I guess that's
you know what
true.
I mean. Like it's like she's different with I don't know his actual name, like in the
Luke
movie,
Wilson.
But Luke Wilson. Like she's different with him, and he sees it right away. And like it's like I don't know. I think it's such an argument for just like
I think
the person
the thing
you're supposed
is,
to be with is the person you can just.
I
be
agree with all of that, and
with.
I think that could have. Been the lesson if they had either made I think that the character like they just needed to not be so bad
no they're
both
so
them.
Mean
like,
to her
and but she also didn't need to be like she didn't need to put her foot in her mouth so
I
badly
know.
At dinner
I know
like it could like I just feel like we crossed a couple lines that would have made the movie a little bit more enjoyable but I guess
that's
how the movie
why it's so like
that's how a weekend with your family can feel so I get that
exactly.
Like I understand
that's one of the things that Think Piece said it's like a lot of this is familiar tension like
yes
it's,
but I just think it's not a movie I'm like gonna be reaching for every Christmas
wow
but it is a movie that I will show people in my
time
life.
Time will tell though because next Christmas you might that's what happened to us I was like I'm never fucking watching this movie again and then a year passed and I was like I can't believe how bad I want to watch this movie
okay maybe
like I'm just saying I think I've
hit my limit for the year though
okay it's fine just the more you watch it too I think it's like
but it is beautiful it's very like
things
feels
about
like
it
Nora Ephron it feels like Nancy
it's
Myers
it's also like they're all just like like you see Amy.
Didn't Nora Ephron do that one?
I don't know. You see Amy like just wanting everything to stay the way it is and not have anyone new in the family and just like keep this bubble because they all know that like something fucking horrible is about to happen.
Guys, can I say it? Rachel McAdams should have been gay in that movie. Sorry.
Oh, that's also what the Think Piece says. They say that she's absolutely queer.
She has
and they
to be.
Say that having our queer couple in Thad and what's his name? They are like the voices of reason throughout this.
Which
and
is very cool.
And they are like the couple that's like more level headed. They're able to see things differently. They like don't really take the shit from people and they don't participate as much in the like when Amy during the charade scene, like he's just like, give me a fucking break. Like,
yeah.
They just see right through it all. And it's like they're really like our entry point to the like how we're supposed to like.
That's true.
See it. Anyway. Okay. Sorry. Back to this. So, the woman is going to put this piece on hold and he's going to stay open for her tonight, which I am like, it's crazy when she comes back late and he is still open. He's like, I said I'd stay open. It's like, how many times have I left a store before and been like, well, back when you used to shop in store and put things on hold. And then I'd be like, I'm never going back for that. I don't know. It was the last pair of the boots, but I decided I don't want them now and I'm not going to go back and tell them that.
Right. Exactly.
Don't stay open for me.
Well, he's hoping to get railed.
Oh, okay. So we're back to the last weekend, and I cannot imagine how anybody takes Chuck Bass seriously. Let me describe the outfit. Navy basketball shorts that fall below the knee, which is actually a crime. An oversized blue and yellow patterned with crowns tank.
No, it's wild.
Blue wristbands and a sweatband around his head, matching sneakers and Wayfarer sunglasses.
Insane.
Holy shit. It's what?
Insane.
I thought you said it's him.
It's him. He's him. He's him. He's him. Like yeah. Anthony would say.
Yeah, exactly. And get this, Nate invited Carter to come play a game of ball without letting Chuck Bass know. Nate, did you think it was going to go a different way? Like, did you think it was going to go well? Did you think it wasn't going to end with Chuck telling him to go jump in a volcano?
No, that was...
Which was so fucking funny.
That was the way he says it.
Go jump in a volcano.
No, it's even more nonchalant. Go jump in a volcano.
It's so good because it's like... Low-key, like, Nate's like, wait, that sounds fucking sick. Like, have you done that?
Dude, Carter would absolutely love that.
Wait, that's actually so Carter. And Chuck's like, right, no, go do it. Like, good luck. Go do it.
Carter goes. He's like, okay, whatever. And
yeah,
Nate
Chuck kinda
is
kicks
like,
him out.
Nate's like, hey, wait, buddy. Can I get the address for later? I'm totally going to show up.
He's like, I don't want to. I'm sorry I invited you here. And now you got to go. So I'm going to make time for you later. I'm going to show up to the card game. So we're at the photo shoot now. And Blair... Let me tell you, she looks beautiful. She looks like a porcelain doll.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little stiff. And I'm going to say something crazy here. I don't know.
I think it's the photographer.
Okay, perhaps.
Because the lighting's terrible.
And there you and then now she said it. Just remember what we said about Sarah Paulson and Kim Kardashian on the Patreon, okay? Just remember that. No, but at the same time, I'm sorry. I don't know that the way Blair's acting is not fitting for the clothes.
I agree.
She's not wearing a fucking fringed vest. Like,
sorry, the Serenas of the world are not going into Macy's or Bendel's and buying Eleanor Waldorf chic.
Like, Blair has a different style than Serena. If you want, like, there, it's apples and oranges. And maybe, okay, I could see a version where you want to show both ways to wear the line. And, like, that would be an angle here. But that's ultimately never on the table.
And the way Serena loses, because Serena comes in and she's like, okay. Because she overhears... the photographers and she goes over and tries
they
to
literally
loosen.
Say how is the client gonna like the dress if the model doesn't even like herself.
Okay, holy shut shit the fuck up.
And holy then, shit, do you remember where you are and who you're talking about?
For she's right there and her best friend's right here and she hears this and she goes over and she's like, okay, I'm gonna save the day, let's loosen Blair up, be goofy like when we were 10, which is so funny. Like when we were 10 is be goofy like when we were 10.
Like when we were 10, remember how goofy we were that year
when we were 10.
I also though, it's so sad because in the beginning before Serena goes and does that, we see Blair trying to do the hip hop that
no,
Serena showed her the day
it.
Before, but she just like can't. It's
no,
like not working.
No, I hate that. And
oh
then
my God.
Serena's like, okay, Venus in the half shell, Venus in the half shell. She goes,
Britney with the
umbrella.
Umbrella,
Posh Spice in America. You're a sexy beast.
And these are the things that encourage me in the morning. I had the affirmations written on my mirror. Of course, it just works. But Blair's just really struggling with this.
Wait, that like is still like stuck in my head. Like I can't. I
what?
Blair doing the.
Oh my God, dude.
Oh my God.
She's literally before Serena even goes. It's just so sad.
No,
and, then,
I hate it.
And like Serena goes up at first, and Blair's so annoyed. She's like, "Of course, like you have to come fucking help me." And then she Blair like picks up on the energy in the room, and she's like, "Okay, no, come help me."
It's
like,
devastating.
She like can't imagine anything worse than like. Fucking over her mom.
Yeah.
And Eleanor is watching this and enjoying it. And it's like, unfortunately, she is really enjoying this from a motherly perspective of like, oh, I like seeing my daughter having fun with her best friend.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, this is going to be so good for the line. And I wish she could stay in this maternal world for like one more second. But she can't.
And then Dan calls and is like, hey, where are you? And Serena's like, oh, I can't make it. Sorry.
Again, sorry. I know she's being here for Blair and that's what I want her to do. But this is such an example of Serena just like Serena's on Serena's fucking time. Like
Serena,
doesn't even text him.
Serena,
the movie's at 8.
And Serena said, I know, what time is it? And is that, the movie's at 7.
Okay.
And
he's in line to get the tickets. Like,
and Serena says, I know it sounds superficial, but it's really important to Blair. Don't put that on Blair.
I know, exactly.
Explain that you're being a good friend.
Exactly. And she's like, well, and she's important to me. So like, I mean, I get it. Silly photo shoots, who cares? But Blair's important to me and this matters to her. Like,
exactly.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dan's vest is like at least the third vest I've seen in this episode.
Isn't
alone.
He also in a tie? Or did I make that up?
I don't know. Wouldn't shock me. But Serena's wearing one earlier.
When you have the vision for a vest and a three-piece suit, sometimes you just imagine what it should look like.
A vest and a three-piece suit. and a fedora, of course. Well,
yes. So he's missing two pieces.
He is.
Well, three. He doesn't even have a coat on.
He doesn't even have a coat, and it's New York, and it's probably cold. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so we're back at the gallery. Rufus is a man of his word. The buyer came back. Bex, she's ready for an invoice. Rufus, like, leaps across the table to write it. And how mortifying is this? She's like, this isn't your first time, right? selling a painting. And it's like, well, what else would you mean, girl?
Literally.
You're both fully clothed. Like
freaks.
He has children. Mm-hmm. This isn't your first time. I mean selling a painting. It's like, tell me you want to have sex with them without telling me you want to have sex with them.
And she's like, well, maybe we could celebrate with a drink. And he looks at the painting and he's like, this is actually my wife's painting. And
how dare you?
And we're in a really good place right now, actually. Yeah. And I know I'm not wearing a wedding ring, but actually this leather choker that I wear is my wedding ring.
This is an eternity ring, okay? I can never take it off.
If I do, my head comes off.
And that's what real commitment is. People these days don't get commitment. They just don't understand that they don't do it.
It's commitment, and it's absolutely fucking punk rock.
Yes, and he does. This is kind of the first time we really get him to explain that, like, she's in the Hudson or whatever. I don't really
know
what that
is. She's in the Hudson River.
That's what they say. Like,
God, he killed her. That's why she isn't coming back.
Oh, my God. He did it so he could sell all her paintings to whoever he wanted and get laid in the process.
He's like Gatsby with the green light. These paintings are for Louis.
Imagine we find out Rufus is a cold-blooded killer. And that's actually, like, just a secondary plot in Gossip Girl.
Oh, God. It sounds like you just revealed it.
Oh, my God.
She's
Rufus,
in the Hudson.
You know what? And I should have known. Because he does have the skin of a killer. Yeah. Not only is he nearly headless. How can somebody be nearly headless? Sorry, I'm a little hoarse still. My Hermione's not there. But there's that. And then also, like, on top of it, you're going to be bloodthirsty. You're like a ghost. You're like a specter. You have the skin of a killer. And you're slutty and a doofus. And a pygmy.
And your name's Rufus.
I didn't know you could be all those things at once.
But he
manages
the impossible.
He does.
We go to Patty's paddock.
Okay, is this not giving Charlie on Next Gen when Chuck gets out at the bar and he's like, all right, we're going to the bars. I'm like, is it March 17th? Why is everybody here in full leprechaun accoutrement?
At this bar, you have to be in St. Patrick's Day accoutrement.
Is that the thing? I am also confused, though, because...
Well, he says they're going to 50 bars
in all five boroughs. And when we see him later, he's wearing the leprechaun, like, green fedora. I'm like, did every bar, is it St. Patrick's Day?
Caroline,
and they're just not saying anything about it. That doesn't make sense. Christmas episode is in, like, 5 weeks.
And it was, yeah. Well, have you ever, you know, when you're out for a night on the town and someone maybe gives you something and then you're drunk enough where it's like, well, this is fucking sick. I'm wearing this all night.
But I'm just like, on the last weekend, you're still having it on.
Maybe
you go to 50 bars and you don't lose it anywhere in the process. Chuck Bass.
Well, that is improbable.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe, like, it's someone else. Maybe they left it around his house. They all went back to his house.
Maybe. And he was like, wait, this kind of eats like this. My style is evolving.
This will go perfect with my basketball.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I could probably paint this blue and it would match. But yeah, so they're doing this big pub crawl and he says, don't dip your shillelagh in the wrong pot of gold. Pot of gold.
He does not say it like that, everybody.
He does do it in an Irish accent.
Did he?
Yes. And it's actually pretty good.
I didn't hear it.
Especially considering Ed Westbrook is British.
Nate is not going in, he says. And
Nate's like, I am fucking fuming. Like,
Chuck says, you can see your boyfriend later.
And he goes, let's go. You can think about your boyfriend inside. Which is just funnier to me. You can think about your boyfriend inside is hilarious. And Chuck reminds Nate, like, hey, Carter can't be believed. You don't need to believe anything he says. And Nate's just sold on ideas about the real world.
And he says, everyone out there wants to be us.
Yes. We are what people aspire to.
Not run away from.
Nate, you really don't get me, do you?
Wait,
Nate, what?
I loved this line later from Chuck where he said, because he's like, well, what do you really want? And Nate goes, I don't know,
but this isn't it.
And then Chuck says, well, you better figure out what it is before you float away trying to figure it out.
He says, throw everything away trying to find it. Okay, you've got the Hudson River on your freaking mind.
Well, I wrote float away because
he's like, and I know a guy, and you don't want to end up in the Hudson with Allison Humphrey.
His name's Rufus.
Oh my God.
And you don't want to meet this guy. He wears leather around his neck.
Because you don't want to go to Dartmouth. You don't want to follow in your father's footsteps. What is it you want? you better discover what it is before you throw everything away trying to find it. Which, hey, by the way, is good advice.
Exactly.
From Chuck. Like,
that's why I said that's a good line.
No, I know. But it's hilarious that you
would float away.
Nate freaking, you'll float too. Everyone down here.
You'll float too.
Nate texts Carter.
Hiya, Georgie.
All right. Nate texts Carter for the location.
You baited me.
And then we go to the loft.
Wait, but quick question. Nate puts the address. Okay. Do we know where this bar is that we're at right now?
No, but he's going to Queens.
Yeah, I know I said I know nothing about the geography of New York.
Okay, so Caroline's she's a mean girl and a liar.
I'm a mean girl and a liar because I kind of do. And you're not actually walking to Queens from anywhere, really. Like, you have to get on trains. You have to get on buses. Like, and I don't... He puts it in his GPS like he's about to walk there. Does he not? Call an Uber. I know there aren't Ubers. Call it famously in New York.
Taxi.
You can call a taxi. You have money. But he's like, what would Carter do?
He'd walk.
Freaking walk.
He'd hike. He'd backpack there.
He'd hitchhike if he had to. Okay. I'm a New Yorker. If he has my life.
So we go to the loft. Dan's coming home. And Rufus is like, how was the date? And
Rufus, he goes, home alone playing his guitar, by the way.
He goes, Dad, I don't know if this girl's worth it.
I can't tell.
And Rufus is like, wait, no. You actually kind of have to be with her.
That's the only reason that your last name is in Vanderwoodson. I would have changed my name, of course, is because I wanted you to have a chance with Serena.
What?
So that she's absolutely worth it.
So that my kids wouldn't be siblings. I would still have a chance with Lily.
Exactly. No, Dan starts talking about Blair and okay, you're obsessed. Okay. Who are you really in love with? Serena or Blair? He goes, she's everything I hate about the Upper East Side, distilled into one 95-pound, doe-eyed, bone-maw-tossing, label-whoring package of girly evil.
Hey, I heard a compliment in there.
95 pounds? Blair just lost 2 pounds. How dare you?
She's 93.
93, I think you mean. But I'm sorry. This is...
Wait, sorry. Your Christmas card? Well, first of all, I did have to explain it to Mom and Dad, and once they got it, they laughed so hard.
Explain what?
The ages.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
No, we thought it was so...
You did?
I got it, and Mom goes, okay, did Anthony have to explain that to you? And I said, no, I understood it. And then when I explained it to her, she was like, that is funny.
First he was like, should I put, like, our ages or whatever? He was going to put Anthony, 31, Caroline,
29.
As beautiful as the day I met her. And then that on the dogs, and I was like, don't do that. And I thought that I meant don't do any of it, but he did keep the dogs.
A gentleman never tells.
And a lady never, whatever.
A gentleman never asks.
And a lady, and a lady never tells. I'm like, everyone's going to think Drama's a girl. And Drama's not.
Drama's arguably more boyish.
Non-binary.
Oh.
Drama. Hey, thanks. Don't assume my dog's gender. Just don't.
Hey, thanks.
Oh, my God.
And so.
Anyway, I think that was a little much,
label,
don't you?
Boring pack.
Wait, package of girly evil.
Okay, shut the fuck up. And then he's like, what does this say about Serena that her best friend is Blair?
Jesus Christ. But also, here's what I need to say. Rufus does laugh at what Dan says, which I'm like, don't laugh at that. Set an example.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, he goes, I don't think she can't be that bad. Rufus, you were at the mixer, right? You were the entertainment. So I'm actually surprised that you're not like, and yeah, and thank God we realized this. Like, you're right. Like,
but no, you have to.
He saw what Blair did.
You have to remember he is in it for Lily.
I know. You're right.
And
you're right.
He's like, I dated a girl like Serena once.
We didn't.
Actually, a lot like Serena. She was completely complicated and
enigmatic. Okay. Don't describe your.
And they're usually worth
it. Your future mistress, the way that your wife's painting was just described by somebody.
His only words he knows, only adjectives.
It's just crazy to take those words about his wife's painting and then be like, I'm going to use them about another woman.
And then we kind of get, listen, hey, Rufus, I'm not comfortable with you using water in your little allegories.
No, it seems like a threat now. Now that I know what I know.
Yeah, until you drowned, you swam.
Oh, you drowned? You drowned. Or did Allison drown?
Yeah. Well, he's talking about Lily here.
I know.
Maybe that's where he learned his ways.
I know he's talking about Lily, but I'm saying, like, did you drown Allison so they could be with Lily? Like, I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess. We haven't met Allison yet, but fun fact about Allison, the actress that plays her was my acting teacher.
I know.
At the Performing Arts Project, which I just talked about.
Crazy. I wonder if she knew the person who smiled.
She did.
We go to the Waldorf, and Eleanor is saying goodnight to
this
Blair.
Scene, she's tucking Blair into bed.
And the way Blair looks at her is like she craves her mother's love and affection and attention.
She's giddy. She's so happy. It breaks my heart. Eleanor's like playing with Blair's hair, putting her to sleep. She's like, I'm going to wake you up. We'll go to the shoot together in the morning. And Blair even says like, oh, you haven't done this since I was little. And Eleanor goes, you looked so beautiful today. And Blair says, really? Like, oh my God. And then Eleanor leaves. It's just, again, like scenes like this. I'm like, they weren't writing this scene until they saw what Leighton Meester was fucking capable of.
For sure.
And they needed us quickly to realize, no, no, no. Blair's layered.
Uh-huh.
She's like an ogre. So Serena calls Danny, he's brushing his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to do a makeup plan because she fucked up the movie.
Hey, Serena, on what planet do you think this is a good idea? It's regardless so of what is going to happen.
Crazy. How would you like to see a real fashion shoot?
I can think of nothing Dan would hate more.
Did you mean to call little Jay? She's literally not here. She's at her mom. She's in the Hudson with her mom. She ends up convincing Dan. But Dan hears that Blair is going to be there. He goes, well, now I'm definitely not going. And Serena's like, no, 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 no. No, Dan, please. You'll have my full attention. I'll buy you anything from Craft Services. And he's like, isn't that free? And she goes, okay, I'm going to hang up before you. Now don't protest again.
And then Dan goes, both feet.
Both feet home. So Eleanor and the photographer show up. And,
They're at the
Waldorf penthouse. Blair, thank God, is asleep for this. Because the photographers come, they're like, this is an emergency. This had to be discussed tonight. If we couldn't be over the phone because we have to show you these. Blair is unapproachable, controlled, and perfect. And Eleanor, again, when no one can see it, stands up for Blair. She's like,
she's not unapproachable. She's poised and regal.
Yes. And the photographer's like, look, you've created works of art. And with Blair, you just, it doesn't, it's they not need, working.
The customer needs to see that if they buy the clothes, they'll be having fun like the model.
And so then they show her the pictures of Serena. And they're like, this girl has it. And the worst line to me, they go, but it is completely up to you. It is 100% your call.
Crazy.
And she fucking chooses Serena.
So in the morning, Serena calls Blair when Blair wakes up and... Or, like, left a message. And
Blair wakes
like,
up, by the way, beaming.
Oh, my God. Like, breaks
actually,
my heart.
Like, birds chirping. Mm-hmm. It's giving and a Disney Serena princess morning. And
Serena is like, oh, we're going to have so much fun today.
It's a message, too. Serena, this is a voicemail.
Yeah.
Blair missed this call.
I said that.
You said she calls her. I'm not specifying because you fucked it up. I'm just saying to, like, clarify, like, who knows when this was, Serena? You knew she wasn't answering your phone.
Well, she does say you're either asleep or getting ready.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying. And Blair comes down and Eleanor's like, thank God you're awake. Go, oh, Terry, that fool of a photographer thinks we need to go in another direction with the model. Oh, my fucking God. And Blair, eyes welling with tears, like, no, no, no. Like, it's I'm like, so glad sad. I don't have to go. It's like so boring. Like, you should really have Alessandro Ambrosio, not an amateur. And they're going to have dinner after the shoot. And as she's saying bye, she like has to quickly like wipe away a tear as she calls Serena and has to leave a voicemail for Serena saying my modeling career is over faster than Jessica Simpson's acting one.
Ugh.
But she's going to go to the shoot anyway and make fun of who they replaced her with.
Epic. And so we go to the gallery and Lily comes in.
Lily
talking to Bex this morning. I'm unfortunately going to have to go all the way back to that gallery and tell this man who probably looks like he has dirt on his face that I have to return it. I'll have to have a full conversation with him because of your mistake.
And Bex is like, and this is the gallery you sent me to and every single painting in there is done by the same woman, right? And also, you didn't hear me, but
I offered to go back for you.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, no, you know what? If you want something done, you have to do it yourself. And she goes. She gets to the gallery. Okay. Yeah, we know she's Bex's client. She's like, I know for a fact that Allison would not want her art hanging at my house, which is simultaneously like thoughtful and nice and real. And also like, okay, you're that girl. Like, yeah. Okay, she just knows.
And then Rufus, I think it's coming from a place of like protection, self-protection of like, she's saying your wife is going to hate that she despises me. And mm-hmm. He's like, no, she's not like you. She doesn't hold on to things like that.
Jesus Christ. And she's like, let's just not. Like even go there and then she goes to leave and Rufus is like, what'd you think of it?
You didn't fucking make it.
Yeah, why do you care? And she says, of course, thought it was extraordinary. All right, so now we get Chuck in his penthouse wearing the same Patty's hat. The mystery continues. I didn't realize when he like put all his valuables in this drawer in the main room of the party, by the way,
uh-huh.
And then locked it, that he just put the key like under a rogue candlestick. I can't imagine a less like secure place.
Yeah.
For you to have put this key.
Probably more secure than Chuck Bass's pocket last night, though.
Probably, but like put it in like your nightside table drawer.
Yeah, put it anywhere.
So that somebody thinks like, if I'm like, it's how easily these candlesticks could have just been knocked over and the key right. could have even been lost. Like, you don't know. Like, but it's also right above the door that it goes to. So yes. I don't know. I just think it was, I mean, I don't want to like victim blame, but a little bit stupid of you, Chuck. And he opens the door and it's completely fucking empty. And it's like he immediately knows what is going on here.
And then we go to the poker game. And by the way, that means that this it's daylight outside.
I keep being like, what fucking time is it? They've been in this hole of a room for hours and hours and hours. And Carter, like, Chuck texts Nate and Carter's like, no phones. And Nate wants to pull out because he's 5K up and he's like, let's get out. And you see like panic just flicker over Carter's face. Like, no. Like, you know, just like stay in a couple more hands. Like, you know, like it's fine. We'll just use a marker. Like, you don't have to like, you know, he's good for the money. And it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, literally.
But good guy Nate can only see the worst in like Chuck Bass. And even then mm-hmm. barely, you know?
Exactly. We go to the photo shoot and Blair goes up to the rooftop and sees that Serena is fully, like, the shoot is underway.
Moon River playing again as she goes up. It's literally so exactly like her dream. Like, she, uh-huh. down to the Bendels thing, like, everything. And so I think the show has done so well. Like, having Moon River playing here again mm-hmm. was just great.
And so they storm off. Serena chases her down the stairs and Dan is, like, coming down the hallway. And so he hears this whole fight. And Serena's like, wait, why are you mad? And
I was told we were doing this together. Goes,
why am I mad? You mean, why am I furious?
Why are Yeah. I knew it would be like this. When you didn't see my name in the call sheet or see me in hair and makeup or when you saw the dressing room only had your name, did you think they just forgot? She's like, well, I was told you were running late. I was told you wanted me here and you believed them. I loved that line. And you believed them that I would fucking want you here, which it is like, yeah, like why... Why would she want Blair to be or Serena to be in the pictures with
her? And you know that even if it was Eleanor saying it, you know that relationship is bizarre.
Yes. And Serena goes, why would I try to ruin something I pushed you to do? And Blair goes, because you take everything from me. Nate, my mom, you can't even help it. It's who you are. Mm-hmm. And then Blair leaves and fucking runs into Dan and sees that Dan overheard everything.
Great.
And we get spotted. Lonely boys, rude awakening. Upper East Side queens aren't born at the top. They climb their way up in heels, no matter who they have to tread on to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so Serena quits and she says to Eleanor, I think you know why. And Eleanor... Then there's just Dan standing there on the rooftop, and Eleanor goes, who are you? What are you
Hello?
Doing?
Hello! She's saying, answer
what
me!
What are you doing here? And he goes, I don't even know anymore.
So, but like, why are you standing there, Dan?
Why did you chase after
why
her?
Why did you come up on the roof? And why are you still here? Now that yeah, she just ran
He's
off.
He's like, so are we going to still
oh,
hang?
Oh, come on, Serena. You know you love a spotlight. You always have. It's part of your charm. There's nothing wrong with that. Eleanor turns into like a sleazy old Hollywood agent in this moment.
For real.
Oh, my God. So Serena's changing. And Dan, by the way, give her some privacy, walks right up. I can't believe that he can't see her entire naked body. And he's like, I overheard you. And Serena like snaps at him. And he's like, I thought you wanted to be on the sidelines and be here for your friend Blair. And I'd have your full attention. And it is like... On one hand, surprising Dan's got his finger on the pulse.
He's such a little baby, though.
But on the other hand, I'm like, you don't know her well enough to be like fucking saying anything about this. And she goes, just say it. He goes, I don't think I have to. And it's the whole like just holier than thou
yeah,
thing that
100%.
He has. Meanwhile, you're running a fucking gossip blog, you fucking psycho.
Yeah, literally. And she was like, how am I supposed to tell my best friend like what happened?
I can't with Serena. So my best friend doesn't believe me and neither does a guy like. Oh, it's so hard to be you.
It's so hard.
Because I was tricked into coming here because Blair's mom didn't want her.
Is crazy.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. So this scene.
It's actually sweet.
Really sweet and pivotal for Dan and Blair. It's like they meet each other without their armor for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Dan is finally leaving and Blair is just like sitting alone in the hallway. And it's like, you know, she's sitting there fucking waiting for her mother to
but
come check on
still,
her somebody.
She still has to have her armor up because Dan comes over and she's clearly upset. And she goes, I normally wouldn't be this close to you with a tetanus shot.
Without a tetanus shot. He sits down with her and he's like, just starts talking about his mom leaving.
Wait, I think it's even funnier the idea that if even if she had the tetanus shot, she still wouldn't want to be that close to him. I do
True.
Think
and
she
I'm
says,
like, Claire, do you not have your tetanus shot? You gotta get one, girl. You got to. You live in New York. So he sits down with her and he's like, look, my mom left us and I'm the only one who actually can see that that's what happened here.
Which that was a sad line to me.
Yes.
He's like, and that's so much pressure to put for Dan. Ugh. It's almost like making Dan be the man of the house, even mm-hmm. though Rufus is like
100%.
Like it's 100%. It's so sad.
Rufus can't. He's like too. He can't be in this moment. You know, it's like Dan. Yeah. And Dan's like, every time I go see my mom, I tell myself that I'm going to say what I want to say to her. Either come home or leave for good. And I just
How
can't do it.
How unfair of her to do also.
I know.
To be like, I'm just going to let my kids.
Allison
like,
Humphrey sucks. You heard it here first. She sucks. And he's like.
May she rest in peace.
Well, of course. Sorry for a second. I was like. And then I forgot that Rufus killed her. Rufus fucking held her underwater and said, you're sleeping with the fishes and the pollution. Anyway, Dan's like, I don't know why I don't say it to my mom, but like, I wish that I had, even if it didn't change anything, she would know how I felt. And you can just see the recognition on Blair's face. Like, it's just a really nice moment. And it's like, I just more so wanted this moment for Blair than I wanted it for Dan. Like, I just wanted Dan to like get it a little bit. And it's going to help your relationship with Serena in the long run too, that you see Blair.
For sure.
But also it's like, Serena, you've been best friends with Blair for how long? And Dan can see this more clearly than you can. Uh-huh. Like, get out of yourself for a second.
Yes. So we go back to the poker place and Carter, we find out Carter's been playing Nate. Boots down.
Actually crazy. Like crazy work here.
He is in on it. He's with these guys and he's been trying to get Nate to like every, I guess if he was just waiting until he was losing out, basically.
I feel like the story ends up being later on that Carter, like,
he's in debt to these guys.
He needs money. Yeah. And he owes these guys. And so he's like, well, Nate is a trust fund kid. So we'll get him into play. But like,
and he's dying to be different.
Yeah. He's like, he'll fall for this hook, line, and sinker. So, anyway, Nate ends up like losing. And he's like, okay, well, like, it might take me a minute to get the money. And Carter's like, are you fucking kidding me? Just snap your fucking fingers. You little chubby fucking fingers. Dude, get the fucking money. And this is when Nate realizes what happens. And Chuck comes in to save the day. And it's honestly like such a good. I mean, it shouldn't really be a great episode for Chuck, given that it's like the lost weekend.
But it was. Because he's.
It really
his
is.
Friendship with Nate does mean a lot to him.
Yes. Because Carter says, if you don't give them the money, I'm going to tell everyone where you live and they can come get it from your daddy. What do you think about that? Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? What a psycho. The level of desperation, like, I smelled it on your fucking drug rug. And then Chuck comes in and gets between them and says, I know you have my watch and my ball. Keep them. I won't call the cops. Take care of these guys. We walk out of here.
And
that's
also,
what
like,
happens.
Okay, so Carter, you're playing Nate out of this. You've already stolen, like,
oh
invaluable things from someone's house.
I'm also like, how did you, like, there's no way that Nate
no
told him, right?
No, I don't think so.
Better not be. So Nate's like, look, Chuck, I'm gonna pay back, even though Chuck's like, you don't have to. Like, again, Chuck's like, it's literally fine, like, whatever.
Guys,
couldn't be me. Nate's getting into his account. Holy fuck.
Mom hears this part. She goes, oh right, you don't know where it went. You don't know where the $200,000 went.
Mom immediately being like, let me guess, your coke habit and your gambling.
As a matter of fact, mom.
Yeah, mom. Jesus,
his dad's
watch
completely
out.
Robbing him blind.
Mom is just too cynical for this world.
She is so cynical.
God. So he goes in his account, zeroed out, calls his account, and he's like, what's up with my trust fund, babe? 000. And
you're
he goes,
like,
oh my God,
dad drained it.
Yeah, your dad drained it. It was drained by the captain weeks ago. He said he talked to you about it.
Yikes.
That's a scary moment. That's a scary moment. Wee woo, wee woo is right. How are you going to talk to your daddy about this? Because also, then he has to admit that, like, why were you, like, I mean, I don't know, maybe I don't really know how other people do with their trust funds. But,
right.
But, do you, like, check your balance frequently?
Mom goes, man, I wish you guys had trust funds I could drain.
Yeah, no, me too. I would have already drained it. But I just, like, that's exactly what my trust fund looks like, too. Like, wow, trust fund kids, we're not so different, you and me. It is just, like, I don't know. Because
well,
if
I think
he brings
ideally,
it up to his dad, his
ideally,
dad's like, well, why do you?
Ideally, he wouldn't have been looking at it.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
so it's like,
yeah.
No matter what, there's
like
an
awkward conversation.
Because
his dad is probably like, I can get this figured out before he would even have to think about it.
Right. And Nate's like looking. And so then he would have to be like, well, dad, I know this. But again, I don't know if it's normal to like look at your
thumb. Yeah, I don't know. So we go back to this photo shoot.
The photo shoot, the never ending fucking photo shoot.
It's still fucking going.
Everyone's freaking out.
Blair confronts Eleanor.
And I love this for her. Get it. She says, did you choose Serena over me? You could have picked a total stranger. Mm-hmm. You That's didn't funny. Have to pick my best friend. Did you think I wouldn't find out? And I just want to say, yeah, I think there are other people in the world who could hear that line. You could have picked anyone. You could have picked a total stranger. You didn't have to pick my friend. Anyway, Eleanor's like, well, I was going to tell you at dinner. There just was like no time. Like, of course it was mishandled. Like, but you know, the Bendels would really legitimize his company. And she says that this exchange is so good. She goes, you've always been my biggest supporter, my biggest fan. And Blair goes, I'm your daughter. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, like, exactly. Like, yes, she's going to be your biggest supporter and biggest fan, but really you're supposed to be her biggest supporter yeah. and her biggest fan. She's the kid. She's your daughter.
She's your biggest fan because she wants your approval
so
badly. She
looks up to you. She idolizes you. She wants to make you happy so fucking bad. Your wins are her wins, but also, like, you're now making it so that that can't be true. Like, it's just...
Right.
Oh, it's such a, like, big moment for Eleanor. And Eleanor goes, and as my daughter, I knew that you would forgive me in time. But if my company had lost this deal because of you, I'd never forgive myself.
Crazy.
And Blair says, I hope you never do. Oh, such a good
Crazy.
Exchange.
And so Dan goes over to Serena with craft services and is like, sorry, I judged you.
It's like, you're still here? Get out. Get out, Brooklyn.
Eleanor Waldorf says one thing to me, I'm out of there.
I'm not going to Crafty, let me tell you that. I'm not going to like be seen helping my fucking self. No one knows who you are. You're literally lonely boy. You're nothing.
Eleanor goes, I found out who you are. You're literally lonely boy.
Get out of here, lonely boy. Oh my God.
And Serena goes, ask me out again.
Ask me out again. Yeah, I'm going to actually, you guys are actually going to show up. They're just like bad flirters, but it is giving that like young, like awkward, like.
What is also giving Serena's used to flirting with guys who immediately are good at flirting.
Yeah, who have game. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like she's thrown off because he doesn't, like she's less smooth.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know how to flirt with somebody like this, which is obviously why she likes him. Anyway, Blair then comes out, hears about the date. And this is a big moment too. She says, I think we can agree to these terms. And Dan kind of gets her seal of approval, like not all the way, but like a little bit, you know.
But not with these shoes.
But not with these
or
shoes.
This
and
hair.
Not with this
hair.
And you know what? We're right about the hair.
Yeah.
And probably
and the
shoes.
Mutton chops.
Oh, the mutton chops are so bad, dude. You're not Mr. Darcy.
And so Serena apologizes to Blair, and Blair says, "I'm glad that you pushed me to do this." And then "Beautiful Girls" by Sean Kingston starts to play, and we get the. They steal the clothes from the photo shoot and they run away. And
this
then we get the most famous pictures of Blair and Serena.
No one who had a best friend and was on Tumblr at this time was not reposting these fucking photos. Like either taking them yourselves, reposting. These were like the best friend photos.
100%.
And I will be posting and saying Tiger
and
Bestie.
I want to know when they stopped liking each other or if they ever liked each other and if they had to take these pictures.
I was literally like... pausing to write some of the stuff down that was happening, and I'm like looking at them and I'm like, you can't fake it, you can't fake that chemistry, but it's only episode 4.
And if you could, Emmy,
I mean, it literally makes me think that they're, I already thought Leighton Meester was like this incredible actress, but it makes me think that they're both amazing because of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's so believe, we never would have known.
Exactly. Like, I
on.
Never would have, and to the point that a lot of people didn't believe it for a really long time.
Uh-huh.
But we get this epic thing, and fun fact, those are the dresses that they're both like playing with in the very beginning of
oh,
the
cute.
Scene that they end up wearing. And it's like, this is a really sweet moment. And we get our final little Gossip Girl voiceover. I say, this just in, S&B committing a crime of fashion. Who doesn't love a five-finger discount? Especially if one of those fingers is the middle one. Everyone knows you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. And in a world ruled by bloodlines and bank accounts, it pays to have a pal. As much as a BFF can make you go WTF, there's no denying we'd all be a little less rich without him. And Serena and Blair, they do besties better than everyone. No, that's not a tear in my eye. It's just allergies.
Okay, Dan.
Without you, I'm nothing. Gossip Girl. It's a great, great, necessary episode for our girl and for Chuck and for Dan and Blair. Like, for all around.
Uh-huh.
Really, really a great episode. It's a fun one. And I love the dreams that we get from
yeah.
Blair. Okay. Do I read the synopsis for next week or do you?
You do.
All right. Next week's episode is like... maybe top one favorite Gossip Girl episode of all time for me.
The girls' night out.
Yes, it's so good. Yes.
A good old GNO.
It's called Daredevil, season one, episode 5. Dan makes elaborate plans to impress Serena on their first official date. The same night, Jenny is invited to Blair's infamous Waldorf sleepover and finds herself in a high-stakes game of truth or dare. Meanwhile, when Lily discovers that Eric is missing from his treatment center, she finds herself seeking help from guess who?
Rufus.
Her ex-lover, Rufus. Rufus is a doofus.
Great.
Rufus is a freaking doofus. There. So anyway, guys, Merry freaking Christmas. Have a holly jolly Christmas, Upper East Siders. We are back again next week, New Year's Day, with this Daredevil episode, a perfect way to start off the new year. We are releasing some pop culture episodes on the Patreon. So if you are missing that part of our podcast, it still exists. Just go to our Patreon. We're talking about reality TV. We're talking about our lives a little bit more.
I'm so excited for, well, I guess we'll be missing Salt Lake tonight, but.
There is no Salt Lake tonight.
Thank God.
Yeah, there's no Salt Lake tonight.
And no Southern Charm tomorrow?
I don't know about that. Salt Lake, because I think like we're going to, they're taking a couple weeks off before.
The finale and then the reunions?
Yeah. So we don't have Salt Lake, but we'll have Southern Charm and I think we'll have Beverly Hills, which is great.
I'm loving Southern Charm.
I'm loving it. I'm loving Beverly Hills.
I started watching this season. I kind of stopped watching a couple seasons ago once I essentially caught up, and then I kind of got tired of the newer stuff. But this new season, I have the best part about Beverly Hills is like these people truly are part of monoculture, so you can just kind of like jump back in.
Yes, you totally can.
Like it's like I know that
that's what
like,
I love about the long standing cast.
And it's like and that the any of the main things that happen are like reported on the real news.
Yeah,
so like exactly. I know PK and Dorit aren't together.
Yes.
I know about Mo and every like I know all of that. Yes. So
it's gorge. It's a good season though so far. I'm enjoying it. But yeah, so if you guys wouldn't mind, you know, I let you know about our 1-star review and I'm sure you went to freaking read it for yourself. While you're there, if you could leave us a 5-star review, it would mean the world to us. Tell somebody you know about us. Tell everyone you know about us. We are fully in this Gossip Girl world. I hope you're enjoying the content on our socials. If you're not following on Instagram, it's at your one and only source pod. We did change those handles around. I think our stuff is looking good. What I'm struggling with right now is like with Pretty Little Liars, obviously we were doing it for 3 years. So it was like hit after hit after hit on socials. And the Gossip Girl content is like a little bit slower to take off, which is messing with my head a little bit. But it's okay because I understand. But like if you guys see it, engage, repost. We did my Elf on the Shelf thing today. We had a really big account take it and then post it on her own on her account and epic. Tag us and whatever. And it immediately goes crazy on her page. And I'm like,
perfect.
Can I get a fucking scrap of engagement? So anyway, go engage with our stuff. Subscribe to the Patreon. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. And a happy new year. We'll see you guys next freaking week. And
splat. Boom, 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 boom.